Howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 457, When You Get the Call. Well, happy July 4th, slightly belated to you. I trust you had a marvelous 4th of July weekend. Got out there and do some shooting, both figuratively and, of course, with the camera. What a great time to get the camera out and do some shooting and celebrating our country and our freedoms. Sharon and I went down to Hamilton, Montana, to our normal spot for 4th of July celebrations. Gorgeous place, overlooks the Bitterroot Valley and the fairgrounds there in Hamilton. They have this great free, it's really a great show, firework display. It's kind of unique because it starts at about 10:45 at night because it's still quite bright out and it's not dusk and dark yet until then. Now, typically, I go out with a long lens. It's just what I've always done, 7200. This time, I went out with a 180-600. The first couple cannons went off, and I got the shots. And then I sat there, and I looked out, and looking across the Bitterroot Valley, looking up the mountains, gorgeous clouds. And I was like, wow, why am I doing this with a telephoto lens? It's kind of like it's just a boom of fireworks. So I swapped out, put the 14-24 lens on, set it to 24 millimeter. And now I got a whole lot of fireworks and I got the Bitterroot Mountains and great skies. So it just goes to show that though I've been doing it the same way for years and years and years and years, actually thinking about the story and the place and telling that, it changed everything. So I hope you had some great revelations yourself this weekend, got some great images, got to enjoy the passions that photography do bring us. This podcast is again being recorded with Adobe Podcast Beta. The AI voice has changed a little bit. You now have to do, it doesn't do it automatically. You have to put it through an engine and creates the cleanup, does all the audio work for you. So hopefully no one said anything that doesn't sound weird. It has a scale. I'm only doing it at 50% for those people out there trying to do this, and hopefully you're using it as a means of sharing your information. It works really simple, very cleanly, and makes it a lot of fun to do. Remember, you can find the podcast, the usual spots, iTunes, YouTube, what have you, as well as on Spotify. Conversations picking up a little bit there on Spotify where you can leave comments. We can have conversations either about the podcast or anything that's going on. So please don't hesitate to reach out and talk. And speaking about communicating, yeah, I'm on Facebook and it's working better and better for me. I guess I'm probably the only person on the planet that really have issues with that platform, but if you want to talk, remember you can go there, send me emails, whatever. I'm there to help. We probably heard that many of the manufacturers have had to raise their prices with the tariffs that are now being imposed. Yeah, it's not the best thing, but that's kind of what's happening in the news right now. Remember, the gear you've got probably does a really great job. And if you want to buy new gear, and I'm guilty of it, I'm always looking at tools that will solve problems that tools I have now won't. I can't emphasize enough renting or borrowing from NPS, Nikon Professional Service, before you buy. Case in point, the Z35 1.2, what a spectacular lens. Absolutely spectacular. It is, I can't get over how gorgeous that lens is. Had it for quite a while. Shot with it, just pounded that poor lens. And I returned it. Not going to buy it. The reason? It just doesn't fit my style of photography. I tried it in every possible genre that I might want to apply it for, especially the one I originally thought it would be great. It's kind of like the 85 millimeter, that focal length, 85 millimeter me, I just, I can't make it work. In this case, the 35mm at 1.2, because why spend the money for a fast lens? You're not going to shoot wide open all the time. I just could not make it work for the way I want to tell a story. It's a killer lens. I really wanted to love it. I do love it, but just not for telling my story. So you think about, you know, things going on out there. Try before you buy. With the very late hours in which the sun goes down and the way it gets so mellow, especially here in Montana after 7 o'clock, I haven't been doing any reading to give you guys a book recommendation. The Sea of Grass is still sitting there on the old nightstand to be read. I've gotten halfway through it. I'm spending time out shooting. So if you have a great book to recommend, please don't hesitate to let me know. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Now, they are the home for your Nikon summer savings. They've got some really great deals going on until the 3rd of August. That, you know, like the some of my favorite lenses, like the 24-72.8, this year, the 135 Plena, God, lens I just love. I've just not pulled the trigger on. That's the Z400-28TC. What a great lens. Shot 2 years ago with it. Kodiak Brown Bears. God, what a lens. Or the Z51.2, another spectacular lens I absolutely love. And a whole lot more. This is the Z7200-28. I mean, this goes on and on. Bedford's, they got this gear in stock. They got the prices. And the best part, even with these sale prices, after you check out, you're going to see that 5% back from the Moose discount. That's if you remember to tell them. I'm surprised a lot of people go there because I recommend it. And I hear this, thank you for sending us there. They love the service. They have the stock. Great people. And I said, and you got your Moose discount, right? They go, and I go, call them up because they take care of you. That's Bedford's. So take care of me, take care of you. They are just phenomenal. Bedford's, bedfords.com. Thanks for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. When you get the call, as you might guess, this particular episode is because it just happened to me and I got the call. And the call is to show up. I had 6 days notice to book my commercial air flights, get somewhere, get a little plane, fly and shoot for a couple days and come home. Can you do that? Now, I consider it and always have a real luxury when I can just put a bunch of stuff in the truck and go off and shoot. When I have that luxury, I can take all sorts of tools with me that what if kind of things, it might help. But when you get the call and you're going to have to get somewhere, and I've done this in small sets on 185s or beavers on floats, on airboats, in helicopters, many different places where all of a sudden the amount of gear I can take and have with me is incredibly limited. Not so much by the size, but also the physical weight. Aircraft, be it helicopter or fixed wing, you know, you got to deal with, you know, center of gravity. You know, you got to deal with weights and balance. So you just can't take everything with you. So what happens if all of a sudden you're limited? And to complicate it, in this case, I'm limited not only because physical weight, but physical space to put it, and I have to have camping gear. So that limits things even more. Can you do it? Could you pare down your camera bag and support mechanism so you can make that kind of requirement? Now, what kind of numbers we put it on? Well, the camera gear, computer gear, camping gear, everything, 40 pounds total. If you've gone to Africa, sometimes your personal gear that you can carry on a plane there is strictly measure and weigh to just maybe 20 pounds. Can you do that? This is a case where less is more is not only a great strategy, here it's actually a necessity. So in this particular case coming up, I'm going to have 3 lenses. That's all. And I'm going to put them in my MP1-3 version 2, or I'm going to take my 5, so I'm taking my smallest one, MP5 version 2. And in there, I'm going to have the Z9, the Z180-600, the Z7200-8, and the 24-72-8. And batteries. And that's it. Now, in this process, a lot of things got to give and take. The first thing you have to be true to, and this is essential in this process, is yourself. If you're going somewhere and you're going to go through all of these hoops to get there, you want to come back with the images that tell the story. That's the bottom line, right? So why go through all this pain if you're not going to come back with that story? So paring down camera gear. And this is a good exercise to do, whether or not you might not ever get that call. I'm sure there's some folks saying, that's just not where I'm at. I understand that. But in that paring down your camera gear for that moment, it forces you to think about what tools you have, the jobs they're performing for you, and if the final construction of all these things make the image that you want to share. Because that's really what this is all about. So for myself, having just a couple lenses and bodies is kind of like the norm. Another example, be going off and doing Kodiak Bears. The way the world's going, it's going to be like tomorrow, but it's a few months off still. So I have to go from a commercial overhead bin to the back cargo area of a Beaver. And Beavers are kind of like a station wagon. So they take a little bit more gear and weight than a Cessna. And then I have to pare it down even more to a flat bottom boat. So when I go up the river, I have basically nothing with me. And this year, at least at this point in time, paring all my gear down, I don't have tons of gear. I have enough to do the job. But this year, I'm going to take just the Z600F4TC, the Z180-600, 24-120, and 2 bodies. So I'm again paring down that gear that if I could just drive there, of course, if I could just drive there, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same place. I mean, just look at Yellowstone. When people could just drive there, what happens? You know what I'm talking about. But getting from the home in Montana to the flats in Kodiak Island, there's a lot of paring that has to go down because even with that minimal gear, when I get out of that boat to go work the bears and spend time with them, I don't have a pack on my bag, on my back. I've never done that. I don't do that. For every reason possible, I don't want to hassle a lot of gear. I want the freedom of movement. I don't want to get, after being in the field for 18 hours, you know, weighed down and sore from it. Whether I'm working out of my car or out of my house or I have a boat in Kodiak, I'm going to have, just the bare minimum, which means in this case with the bears, I'm going to have a tripod, the Benro Mammoth tripod with the wildlife head, the Z600F4 on it with a Z9, and that's all I'm going to go walking out to photograph the bears majority of the time. So paring down that gear where less is more. I've gone out with many photographers over the years, and I pick up their bag, often the same bag I'm using, and it's like, wow, it's heavy. And anymore, I ask, because some bags are so heavy, you know, and all of a sudden you think it's going to be light, and you yank on it, you injure yourself. And when you get older, Injuries don't heal like they used to. That's a fact I really hate. So what's in those camera bags? And when I feel a heavy bag like that, I ask, what's in there? When I see someone taking a lot of time to get their camera gear out, I ask, what's in there? So in this process, when you get the call and knowing you have to pare things down, think about it. So a lot of folks in their actual camera bag that they're pulling their camera lens out to go shooting, they have all the chargers. Why? I mean, is there a place in a tree you can plug that charger in? Are your batteries in such bad condition they don't hold a charge for hours? I mean, why would you have all of that, for example, in your camera bag? So when you get the call and you have that limited space and time, think about it. What do you really need? Simple food for thought. I have my basic shoulder bag that has my digital darkroom in it and associated what I need to get by for being gone for a week or 10 days from the home. You know, like charging cables, iPad for entertainment when I'm flying, headphones when I'm flying, the notebook, the charger, the card reader, then all the other kind of stuff that we have. That all has to be, when you get the call, pared down to just the basics, which is the notebook, charger, card reader, the rest of stuff, all that backup stuff. It's only for 3 or 4 days. It just gets left at home. I figure I could, you know, deal with it. Camping gear. Some of the things that you take, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And going through this exercise, whether you think you'll never get the call or you will, is just a great way of looking at and take status of what you have collected, for lack of better terms, in the realm of camera gear. Talking to a person about this a couple of weeks ago, and they have had one heck of a lot of gear. And we kind of walked through the list, and I'm mentioning some of the duplicates and this, that, and the other. And they just love camera gear, so they've kind of like collected it, their term, over the years. So now they've actually sold some pieces. Now, the funny thing to me is they sold those pieces, and what did they do with the money they got from the pieces they sold? Yeah, they bought more camera gear, but they don't have as many. Okay, and they paid for one, but that's just the idea, you know. Have in your bag of confidence the tools you need to bring back the story, and you'll have the right gear, especially when you get the call. You folks have a marvelous week. Take great care of yourselves. You got any questions, any help, you know the avenues in which to find me. Share your photographs. And remember to make every click your story.